as was the custom of our Lord, because it's required of us. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up and he read. And they handed him a book, the book of Isaiah. Could you imagine if you had 66 books you had to bring with you to services? Would that be kind of hard? You think you've got trouble finding Jonah now? Is that thick? They gave him Isaiah, and he stood up and he read. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and he sat down. And every eye in that place was fastened on him. They looked at him, and he began to speak to him, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Wouldn't that be something if this day there was somebody that was poor in spirit? If I could find just one deaf person, if I could find somebody that wasn't just a little bit dim lit, but completely blind, and tell them some good news, what would you tell them? You put your big pants on and get up and preach? I don't. Oh, I wallowed over that all week. What to tell them? What to tell them? This is a day when a lot of people show up sometimes to hear the gospel preached or to go to church. They don't show up to hear the gospel preached, but it's one or two times a year we got to show up. And it's what we do. We go to church. And what would I tell them? What to preach? And then I said, I need something to go off of. I begged the Lord for a message. And I said, well, instead of me going to the commentaries and trying to find something, instead of me going to Rolf Barnard and trying to find something, instead of me going to Henry Mahan and trying to find something, maybe I ought to go to God's Word and try to find something. Where are we at this week? Psalm 40. You there? I want to just lay down the straight stick. There's a whole bunch I could show in God's Word of what other people's doing wrong. And so I'm just going to lay down the straight stick, and then if he's pleased to show error and heresy, that's his business. But I'm just going to tell you what he says. This is a messianic psalm. They all are. This is Christ speaking, right? But David wrote this. This is David's word too. David was a king, and he was God's prophet. He wrote these. The Holy Spirit moved. The Holy Ghost came on David and made David write this, right? That's what we looked at Wednesday. But this is us too. "Lo, in the volume of book, it's written of me." Is that you? What books did David have? That story of Jacob we've been looking at for a long time. He said, "That's written of me. I'm Jacob." Is that you? That's me, isn't it? This is a messianic psalm. David is the one used to write it. He was God's prophet, though, and he was speaking on behalf of our king. The holy God purposed to save a people long ago. The Father purposed to save a people before this earth was made. How he did it, the work of doing it, is just unimaginable to you and I. It's a great mystery. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he lived for his people. And he died for his people. And he paid the payment for his people in his own blood. Man can't enter into that. We just can't. The love in this purpose and the love in this work towards his elect, it's unmeasurable. We can't count it. We can't impute it. That means reckon. That means count. We may have a taste of it. We'll have a little taste, but we can't really enter into it. Look here at verse 5. Psalm 40, verse 5. "Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up." You can't count them. Can't be reckoned up in order unto thee. I can't tell them back to you. I don't even know what most of them are. I'm ignorant. "If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." People say, "Count your blessings." You're going to be tied up for a while. You're going to be busy. God, the Holy Ghost, has given us a new heart, given us eyes to behold Christ, given us ears to hear his gospel preached. eyes to behold our Redeemer. All that was done for His chosen people. All that love was towards to usward in His power. And it's not because of something in us. We were the least of all nations, weren't we? He came to save sinners. It wasn't out of doing our doing, but the Holy Ghost moved on us, abounded toward us, and gave us life and gave us ears to hear. And when that happens, for the first time, you truly hear salvations of the Lord. That ain't a doctrine no more. Salvation's Christ. It's a person. I got the same message a second hour as I do this, which is going to be a different text. I got nothing new to tell you. Well, what are you going to preach today? Same thing I preached last time, and Lord willing, by His grace, same thing I'll preach next week. Somebody asked a friend of mine, they said, what do y'all have at that church? I said, we preach the truth of God. I said, what do you have for the kids? Oh, we got something special for the kids. We tell them who God is. What about the teenagers? We got something for them teenagers too. We preach Christ to them. Is there something more important? Coloring books and plays? Dressing up, playing pretend? Absolutely not. Him, isn't it? Look here in verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not require. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. You've taught me that. All this religion, all this. Do you think of the trillions of gallons of blood that was shed in all of those feasts and all of those sacrifices? And they said, some of the old writers said, them priests was walking around knee-deep in blood. Imagine what that smelt like. The iron. Blood's slippery. You may not know that. You try to get a hold of a goat that's covered in blood, you can't do it. That's a mess. And it didn't do nothing. All that play in church, all that ceremony, all that type, all that figuring and all that stuff, didn't do nothing. God taught me that. I had to hear that. You had to open my ear to tell me that. My works don't matter. What will the holy God that we offended, what will He accept? Well, you're going to have to kill a lamb. No, not just any lamb. That whole Old Testament points to Christ the Lamb. He's going to accept His Son. God's going to have to provide Himself, that means for Him and Himself, as the Lamb. That's what He's going to have. Christ our Lord. So He had to come, didn't He? Look in verse 7. We know this is our Lord because of Hebrews 10. It says in Hebrews 10:9, then He said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that He may establish the second. He came to do away with that old man. Adam, you know, we were made sin in that garden. That's when we fail. We didn't get kind of wounded a little bit. By one man, sin entered, and death by sin. So that's why we die. You know anybody that's 400 years old right now? Nope, because of sin. That's proof of it. And by one man's righteousness, many were made righteous. Isn't that right? We read that in Romans 8. He said, He came to take away the first, to establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. You know what I believe on sanctification? I believe what God says about it. I was sanctified once. That's what He said. Or you don't believe, throw it away. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. He came to honor the Father. That's what the whole book's telling me. He said, you search them scriptures because you think you have life. They testify of me. And then those that have eyes and ears and hearts, Paul told Timothy, or he said, now you go look in the scriptures. You've known that from your birth. That's where life is. That talks about Him. That's the difference, isn't it? He came to honor the Father, to uphold His glory, to uphold the Father's holiness, and He did. He came to save His people from their sins. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from something, from their sins. Guess what? He did. He did it. He came to fulfill all the law and all the prophets. He did. He came to finish the will of the Father. He did. He came to ratify His lordship, seal it, who He is, and be crowned the King of Kings rightfully. Be crowned the Lord of Lords rightfully. And it's proven He did because of where He is right now. And that got nothing to do with bunnies and painted eggs and chocolate pieces of chocolate, does it? Our God is on His throne, ruling and reigning as He sees fit, as it pleases Him, and He's holy. He's holy. What He does is right. Oh, if I get that through my thick skull. Did it happen? It was right. Well, what about them horrible things? It was right. God's on His throne. all throughout the Old Testament. It declared an acceptable, bloody sacrifice. Remember what that is in the New Testament? That's Paul's call, right? Propitiation. That's what it is. This spotless lamb. This is the Messiah. The Old Testament says he's coming. And then we got the Gospels, don't we? The God-man's here. He's here. Here's what he preached. Here's what he said. Here's what he did. He's here. And in those epistles that those apostles wrote, he's coming again. He's coming again. First, he's going to come in the hearts of his people, those that were put in him before time was. He's going to call on them and draw them near and give them life. And then when that last saint's called, when the last one put in Christ before time has life put in him, this world's over, our Lord's going to come again, wrap it up, it's done. I wrote that and I thought, maybe today, maybe somebody will hear something I got to say today, what he's got to say. Not just old Kevin, but God speak through me to their hearts. And this is it. Wrap it up. It's done. We can go home. You like getting off work? A couple of y'all work. You like getting off work? We time to punch out. We're done. That's what this world's going to be. Work's done. Race is finished. Get you a cup of water. Sit down. Rest, isn't it? He came, he lived, he died, he buried, and he rose again for his sheep, and he did it willingly. Willingly. And there ain't nothing more off-putting than someone that serves another with grit in their teeth. Fine, I'll do it. I'll submit. Ugh, don't. Go do something else. That's horrible. Our Lord did this willingly. Look here at verse 8. He said, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. It's within my heart. The law is written within my heart. He was the servant of the law for his people. He was a profitable servant. He was a good and faithful servant. And because of that, now we're dead to the law because it's been fulfilled. Ain't nothing we can add to it. Those first five books of Moses, isn't it? We see the law. That's synonymous with it. Go read the law. And that sixth book, Joshua, Savior, Jesus. We see that whole story of salvation and the promise of the glory, isn't it? It says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. That law has been fulfilled. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, even unto the children of Israel. He looks upon his darling son that fulfilled that whole law, and he says, now you've done it. Now lead my people, I put in you, across that river Jordan. Take them to the promised land. Keep them forever. Verse 5 through 8, we see that covenant of grace. That's between the Father and the Son. What happened before you and I were born? There was purpose. There was a covenant made. Look here in verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in the order of thee, unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they're more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. My ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me, I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. That's all established before we come on the scene. That's between the Father and that's between the Son. He said, I'm going to be merciful to a people. And the Son stood up and said, send me, I'll go. It's written of me, I'm coming. I'll be their surety. Now what about the preaching? I said, what am I going to preach, right? That's the title of the message. What to preach? Question mark. What to preach? That's where we come on the scene. This covenant of grace took place before this world was formed. He was the lamb slain when? Before the foundation of the earth. We're talking about something that's done. I won't tell you something to do. I'm going to tell you something that's done. And then he comes to his people and he sends an ascension gift. Because he rose from that grave, because there was the resurrection. He said, I'm going to go to my Father, but I ain't going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send some servants to you. God gave me an ascension gift. Do you know that? I have a pastor. I listened to him preach this morning. I love him. Love him to death. I think highly of him. I count him double honor. God speaks to me through him. I'm thankful for him. He gave me that ascension gift. And you know what he preaches? Same thing David. Ain't nothing different. Here's the full gospel preaching from Christ himself. I got five things I want to look at real quick. And then the result of it. And us coming to the Lord. It's not complicated. It ain't hard. If you're the kind that writes stuff down, now'd be a good time to do it. Easy peasy. It's simple. It's simple. Paul was afraid of people. It's too complicated. You know that? He had concern. He said, I fear lest by any means, just the same way as that serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, through little bitty differences, so your mind should be corrupted by the simplicity that is Christ. The truth ain't complicated. Lies are complicated because it's a web spun, isn't it? Truth's just a straight stick. It's who man is, nothing. It's who God is, holy. How can them be reconciled? Christ. That's it, isn't it? Simple. Look at verse 9 and 10. This is Christ speaking to his Father, telling him what he preached on this earth, what he's going to preach to the hearts of his children through the Holy Ghost. First and foremost, verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. What was in my heart comes out my mouth. You get that? Is that what the scriptures say, isn't it? So a man is that he does. Whatever's in that wicked old heart's what comes out of that wicked old mouth, isn't it? And if God's done a work of grace by his miraculous power, grace comes out the mouth. Because God's been gracious to us. Mercy comes out. And that's telling of what we think of salvation is how we treat brethren. How we talk to them. How we esteem them. It's how we esteem our Lord, isn't it? I'll spend about 10 minutes looking in the mirror before we do that, huh? He said, I've gave thy righteousness. That's what's come out of my mouth. What's that mean? God's holy. All of his righteous acts are because he has a holy nature. He doesn't do what's right. What he does is right. That's a hard pill to swallow. Why? Because I have trials and I have an old man that thinks he knows better than God does. Well, how could this be happening to me? Why in the world? Surely I did nothing wrong and he's an austere man. He just come to bop me in the head and give me a trial. I was doing right. Somebody told me one time, Kevin, I prayed that the Lord would not let you get proud. That second, I felt my ears turn red. Well, you mean I'm proud? I'm fine. That was pride coming out. You get what I'm saying? Like lighting a match. He's the one that does right. He's the one that's holy. And an unclean thing cannot be in his presence. And something that has the potential to be unclean can't be in his presence. Moral innocency ain't going to cut it. We have to be made holy. The holy, unapproachable God. His righteousness is what Christ preached. And everything about him's holy, isn't it? What's angels called as holy angels? What about the temple and the tabernacle? Holy temple, the holy tabernacle, the holy kingdom, his holy scriptures, his holy throne above. God's holy. It's holy. That's what verse 10 says about not hiding thy righteousness. But up in verse 9, it says, I've preached righteousness. God has his own holiness, his own righteousness. But for his people, Christ was made us. He was made sin. He knew no sin, but he was made to be the feminine noun, his bride. He became us, and we were made his righteousness. Well, now, what's the details of that? Well, however much you want to be made righteousness, that's how much he had to be made sin. He had to be made us for us to be made him. Well, I don't want to be made as if I'm as Christ because I can't be in God's presence. Is that simple? I can't be a wolf with just clothing a sheep. I have to be made a whole sheep. DNA's got to change. You get that? Natural man don't get it. They can't enter into it. They've been fighting it for 2,000. That's what John wrote about the Gnostics. What's as if Christ came into flesh? Ain't nothing changed. It's simple. It's simple. And this wasn't hid, was it? Christ was made sin for us who knew no sin. We're made, all of our righteousness is just filthy rags. We're given his righteousness. And it wasn't covered with a napkin. It wasn't hid. It was shed abroad outwardly and inwardly. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If God makes you his righteousness, you're going to follow him, and that's going to come out your mouth. You know what good things I did? I didn't do nothing good. If I did it, God did it in me. He's the one that's righteous. If we're going to preach the full gospel of Christ, we're going to tell about his righteousness and how sinners are made righteous in him, and that's going to take a whole lot of preaching to cover, won't it? How long do you reckon that'll take? We ain't ended yet. Secondly, and I'll go fast. What else is preached? Verse 10. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness, the faithfulness of God, the righteousness and faith. God's faithful to his people. He's faithful. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Have you ever left him? Like in that moment between getting out of the shower and putting your clothes on and shaving and getting in the car, finding your car keys, or somewhere in there you stop thinking about God. Have you ever forsook him? You ever denied him three times before the crow crowed? You ever done that? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always with you. He's faithful to comfort his people. He's faithful to correct his people. And that doesn't change. He's faithful to keep his people. He said, for I'm the Lord, I change not. Therefore, because he doesn't change, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He didn't say you sons of Israel, did he? That's what he's made us, but we know what we are. It's his faithfulness, not mine. Are you a Jacob? Is that your God? Or do you have to keep yourself? God said, I'll keep you because I don't change. That's the God of the Bible, isn't it? Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's not an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. He's the same. And his gifts are the same. What he bestows on his people. Says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. If he's called you and given you ears to hear his gospel and see his son and see Christ high and lifted up in truth, not in a form or function or something that just happened to be trendy at the time, that ain't going to be taken away from you. Your mind might be, your consciousness might be. Not that. If he's giving you saving faith, it ain't going to go nowhere. Now we say, boy, we got it. Put it in a safety deposit box and we're going to hit up a carnival. Oh, Lord, grow that. Increase our faith, don't we? When the faithful God, that one who is faithful, not me and you, boy, we're faithful till a fly enters the room, don't we? We're faithful till a baby starts crying or somebody opens a breath mint or something during services. And we're unfaithful. He's faithful. That one who is faithful, when he gives you his faith, the faith of Christ, it's not returned. And this isn't a dime store saving faith freely given to a person. This came at too dear a price. For us to receive his faith, it came at the price of his blood. God had to turn his back on God. The triune God's faithful to his people. But what a blessing. That's good, right? That's where it hits us. More important than that, really. We ought to be concerned about it. He's faithful to himself. He honored his holiness for his name's sake. Christ was faithful to the Father by being our substitute. He honored his law. He hung on that cross, and God was just, and at the same time, he was the one that justifies. He remained holy and faithful. He was righteous and faithful to his covenant of mercy with sinners. How could that be? I can't do that. There's times my children do something wrong. I have to correct it. But at the same time, I want to show mercy. Well, if I show mercy, I ain't correcting it. And if I correct it, I can't show mercy. I can't do that. God can. But God, what's impossible with man is possible with him. We read there in Psalm 85, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace, they've kissed each other. Where'd that happen? The cross of Calvary. In that dark hour, everything the Lord says, my hour is not yet come, my hour is not yet come. And he said, this is the hour. Turn the lights out on this world. Darkness fell upon it because of what he did. Look at verse 10. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness. Christ preached that. That's what he preached when he stood up to preach. His apostles preached it. The early church, they preached it. David preached it. That's what he said, right? His servants in this day, not heathens, not heretics, his servants, after his own heart that he sins, because there's a sin gift, they preach this. Man ain't nothing. Bow to God. He's holy. He's faithful. He's good. He's just. God's faithful. Not man's doing. Not our strong faith. Pick yourself up by your boot heels. No. God's faithful. The object of our faith is faithful. What to preach? Lord's our, he's righteous. He's righteous. The Lord's faithful. Thirdly, look here in verse 10 again. I've not hid thy righteousness in my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. Salvation is the workmanship of God. It's his doing. In his people, for his people, and for his glory. That's what he's done. Jonah learned that, didn't he? Jonah didn't get spit out of the whale and then say, salvation's of the Lord. He was in the whale's belly, and he said, salvation's of the Lord. Then the Lord made him vomit him out on the ground. He made to submit first, didn't he? We read that in Romans 8, for whom he did foreknow, and whom he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, them whom he predestinated, he also called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. You think about those things. That's what the Lord did in his salvation. What are we going to say? Well, if he's for us, who'd be against us? Thank you, Noah. From the conception of the thought of salvation, that covenant that was made, to the ordering of all things. What did it take for God to save you? Everything. There couldn't be an atom out of place throughout eternity. An electron on its orbit around that nucleus couldn't be out of place. That's just unfathomable. Exactly. His thoughts ain't our thoughts. He's more powerful than we know. Throughout all that, to the saving of his people, through the preaching of the gospel, send some poor, broken, ugly earthen vessel that ain't nothing to tell people about a God that can save anybody. That's how he does it. That's the means he chose. And to that culmination, he's our salvation. The world has everything backwards. You know that? Natural man has everything backwards. You need to do something for God and he'll save you. If you will, God wants to save you. That's not what the scriptures say. What'd that leper say? He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. You get that? A God that's sitting around wanting to save somebody or wanting you to make yourself holy ain't no God. He's got a different name. That ain't what the name lives. He ain't living up to his name. God, if you will, you can make me whole. Because it's thy salvation. Ain't that right, Mike? That leper came to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. Our old nature just clean has it backwards. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and he touched him. Would you go up and touch a leper? You can get something, you catch something. You'll be itching at the end of that, you know. Us, not him. He went and touched him. That was one of his children. He touched him. He said, I will be thou clean. I will. Lord, if you will. If you will. The decision ain't on man. That's God's prerogative. Because it's his salvation. It's thy salvation. It's not public domain. It's his. He owns it. Salvation begins with him, with the Lord. It continues with the Lord. And it culminates in what? A person. A person. Look at verse 10 again. Christ preached thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, and I have not concealed thy loving kindness. If the Holy Spirit's given you life, you'll be moved by this. If I've lost you up till now, pay attention to me now, okay? But if you ain't up to speed with me, catch up now. The loving kindness that's declared in the Father's purposing salvation and glorifying his Son. That's what the Father chose to do by his by his good pleasure. He wanted to. Well, why? That ain't none of my business, is it? We're the beneficiary. I can tell you that right now. I don't need to get knee deep in those weeds. He wanted to. Ain't that enough? The Father purposed it. The Son, in love, in his person and his work, and his attitude of love and his accomplishment, he laid down his life for his friends. He calls us friends. So Abraham's my friend. He purchased it, didn't he? And that loving kindness, the Holy Ghost comes to us, abounds to us, and shows us we ain't nothing but sin. It's thy righteousness. Christ is the one that's righteous, and judgment's done. It's settled. There ain't nothing left for you. There's anything left for you to decide? For you to judge? No, you say amen and bow to him. No. Because of love. Because of love. What loving kindness, isn't it? We were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We ain't no different than anybody else but God, who's rich in mercy, and that great love wherewith he loved us when we were dead in sins. He's quickened us together with Christ, and he's raised us up together, and he's made us set in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. We'll know that one day. It'll be revealed to us. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ. Whose loving kindness? He is, isn't it? And he shows it to us. Does his love get bigger over the years? If the Lord's worked in you, is it just more amazing? Are we shut up more to sin? Are we just more amazed at how magnificent his salvation is? Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That acceptable bloody sacrifice that he didn't want of real bulls and goats. That lamb slain. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. If God does a work in somebody like that, it's going to pop out the outside. They can't help it. What are you smiling all the time for? God's on his throne. Why wouldn't I? That's all right. Line's too long at the pizza place. Well, maybe the Lord wanted me to eat Burger King today. I don't know what to tell you. It'll be all right. He'll make it. I'm declaring to you what the full gospel is, the full good news. He's righteous. He's faithful. It's his salvation. It's his loving kindness. None of that stuff's contingent on me. He saved his people. Plum saved him, didn't he? Fifth. Verse 9, I preach righteousness in the great congregation. Who'd he tell it to? His people, his congregation, those he's gathered. Lo, I've not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I've declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I've not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. What's all this summed up in? What's that righteousness and the faithfulness and the salvation and the love? Where can we bottle all that up together and see it clearly in the truth? In the truth. Thomas asked, we've just been going through this a long time in John 14, ain't we, on Wednesday nights? Lord, which way is it? We don't know where you're going. And he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Where's this righteousness to be found in Christ? Where's faithfulness to be found in him? Not mine. I don't want my thumbprint on it. I'll ruin it. His faithfulness. What about love and kindness? I don't know what love is outside of looking at him. Mankind don't know what love is. Doesn't that humble you? Isaiah, as it were, we hid our face from him. And that hit me Friday night. Me and Kim was reading that together. And I said, I see go read Matthew 27. Go read when they crucified our Lord and they put a robe on him and they spit on him and they hit him in the head. That's what I earned. And I can't hardly read it. I got to hide my face. Oh, that's too much to bear. And he bore it for me. That's love. Why, I spit in his face. I was a child. I knew everything. Had all my doctrine in a row. I was going to argue with everybody but God. Then one day he saved me. He sent a man to preach to me, a real tall fella. Spoke real plain. And at the end of it, he said, go sit underneath a shade tree and eat your ham sandwich. You'll be all right. Calm down. It was something, wasn't it? He's the way. He's the truth. Life. Christ preached Christ to who? The great congregation. You don't want to hear Christ preach? Go somewhere else. My business ain't keeping people in the pews. My business is preach to them. If you need something more theologically sound or higher doctrine or whatever nonsense man can come up with, have at it. My job is to preach him. That's what he preached. That's simple, isn't it? God wanted to make a whole mess of people just like his son. And in perfect holiness, he was faithful to save them to the uttermost. And the whole time he remained holy and just. And that's a great act of love, and every bit of it summed up in a person. That's who saved us, not what saved us. Not us getting on board with the right doctrine because that other church was wrong. He came to sinners and saved us. He's holy, he's faithful, he's our salvation. He loved us first with an everlasting love, and it's all manifest in the Godhead in a body in Christ, the truth. That's how we're preserved. Does that need preached in this generation? Does that need told to somebody? Rick, you reckon? Maybe? One or two people need to hear it? Would to God we could get a bullhorn and a satellite and space station or whatever and declare it to the ends of the earth. That's what we've been put here to do. Not to hold us up in our homes and sit on it and say, well, now I got the gospel down here. Now, God, nobody take it from me. Leave me alone. God, save it. You think God's going to run out? In salvation, God ain't in a recession. You hear me? Not financially either. I'll deal with that another time, but... What's our prayer? What's our response to his ability? That's salvation. How does somebody respond to that? Look at verse 11. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. You're merciful. Don't withhold it. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Lord, make Christ come to me. I need him daily. He's the bread of life, isn't he? Do we need our daily bread? I think the Lord can swing a loaf of Wonder Bread. We need Christ. That's much more important. I don't need to eat food. He can sustain me without that. I need Christ, and I need His loving kindness. And I need to see this wasn't out of stoic necessity. It was because He wanted to. Love wants to, doesn't it? The love of God in Christ is what eternally preserves sinners saved by grace. Not us, Him. That's exactly what Paul preached. That's what Christ preached. That's what God's preachers preach in our day, doesn't it? The Gentiles, Paul said, boy, they're such a pleasure to preach to. He hated them, didn't he? God did a work in his heart. Did he make Paul loving? He said, boy, this is a great privilege. The Lord's let me come preach to the Gentiles, man. This is great. And you know, them Gentiles were tickled to death. It said they rejoiced in God. They didn't rejoice in Paul. Boy, Paul sure can preach. Paul sure is articulate. Paul sure is smart. No, they said God is. That's effectual preaching, wasn't it? That's good news. That's good news to Jews that are nothing but sin. That's good news to Gentiles. That's good news to male, to female, to anybody, isn't it? Not to reprobate. That's, now I got something. Now hold on. Now I ain't that bad. I can do a little bit. How does the child of God respond to this preaching? Not teaching. The preaching. What happens when this is declared in the heart? Look here at verse 12. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken a hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. I'm just overwhelmed. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Be with me, is what he's saying. Be with me. Be with me. We see this thing, this great salvation. What we want? I want to know him more. I want to know him more. I want to be taught more. I want the Lord to speak to my heart and grow me. I want to be, Brother Frank had a wonderful article. I'll put it in the bulletin next week. But if you want to be fed, if you want to be comforted, if you want to be grown in grace, there's only one place the Lord says he's going to do all that, isn't there? When he gathers together and meets with him, I want to be where he is. I want him to meet with us, don't you? All right, let's pray together. Father, be with us. Lord, have your spirit with us. You promised you will. Give eyes to those you haven't given eyes to yet that are yours. And comfort those that you've already gave new hearts to, Lord, and keep all of us as you promised you will. You will save your people, Lord, but we'll ask you. If you're going to use this congregation to preach your gospel, to the furtherance of the gospel, Lord, we ask you, be with us or don't let us go. Use us, Lord, to call out our brethren, to that last one saved, and we can be with our Redeemer, look him face to face and hug him and thank him and kiss his feet. Forgive us for what we are. Forgive us our doubting and our unbelief and what shame we are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this great salvation and your holiness and your faithfulness. And it's only in Christ's name and his work that we ask these things. Amen. All right.